The scripture reading this morning is found in Acts, the 10th chapter, the 44th through 48th verse, and the 12th chapter, the 6th and 11th verses, if you care to follow along. Acts. Acts 10, 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they had heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he had commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Acts 12, turn page, 6 through 11. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. And a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And he did. And he saith to him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and was not that it was true which was done by the angel, but though he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate which leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectations of the people of the Jews." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
I know there's a lot of scripture to take in, but there are important points that we need to think about in both these stories. Two things that we need to garner from this. As I think about this and reflect on this message of harvest and deliverance, and we'll get to that in just a moment, I want to recap a little bit from last week. We talked about last week salvation and transformation. That salvation comes when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we repent of our sin and believe in the glorious resurrection to the gift of eternal life. When we accepted this gift, there's something incredible that happens inside of us, that we begin a process of transformation within ourselves. We become the new people that we are called to be in Christ. We put away those things that draw us away from Christ, and we put on those things that draw us closer. This process of transformation is called sanctification. It's a process in which we become more like Jesus when we seek to live out the greatest commandment, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and that we love our neighbor as we love ourselves. That is the rubric by which we can see how well we are growing in our relationship with Christ. But now I want us to think about the next stage. Once we begin this process of transformation, there are things that we are meant to do afterwards. When we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, we are now meant to spread the gospel far and wide, to begin this process of harvest and deliverance. Harvest is another word that is used for bringing other people into relationship with Jesus Christ. As we just sang this morning in bringing in the sheaves, sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dew eve. Waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. That's what the apostles did, didn't they? When they received the power of the Holy Spirit, They sent and shared the gospel message far and wide to any and all who would hear. When Peter preached to the crowds after Pentecost, there were 3,000 people who came to believe. After Peter healed the lame beggar outside of the temple courts and was taken by the Jewish high council, 5,000 people came to believe as a result of that. So the movement of the Spirit was spreading. The gospel was being shared and many were coming to believe, but the Jewish hierarchical council, those mucky mucks, were starting to get scared. They were worried about their position and station being taken away. So they were fearful. It says in Acts 4, verses 18 through 20, so they called them and ordered them not to speak or to teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, whether is it right in God's sight to listen to you, rather to God you must judge, for we cannot keep from speaking about what we have seen and what we have heard. So Peter and John stood boldly in the name of Jesus. They stand boldly knowing, first of all, that they cannot keep this to themselves. They cannot keep the gift of receiving Christ as Lord and Savior away from people who need to hear it desperately. Peter and John know how greatly the gospel message has changed their lives, and they will never be the same. They've been delivered from the power of sin and transformed by the power of Christ. And secondly, Peter and John also knew that this movement cannot be contained. More and more people are coming to believe, and their passion and conviction is infectious. At Pentecost, 3,000 people came to believe. After the miraculous healing of the lame beggar, 5,000 came to believe. If I'm doing my math correctly, that's 8,000 people. That's probably more than the population of Bridgeville and Greenwood combined, isn't it? It's a fair amount of people, isn't it? The fire has already started. No matter what the high priests say to them, the cat's out of the bag and Pandora's out of the box. The movement started for two important reasons. The movement started, first of all, because they had the Holy Spirit dwelling in their hearts. So we need that first and foremost. If we intend to spread the gospel message, if we intend to share the love of Christ with others, first and foremost, we need the Holy Spirit dwelling in our hearts. And we receive that through the power of prayer. We receive that through worshiping our God, and through studying His Word and internalizing it in our hearts. And the second thing that we need to be doing to keep the movement of the gospel spreading far and wide is to do good works in Jesus' name. People were experiencing transformation in the life of believers because they were receiving hope and healing and restoration. And they needed to share that gift with others. Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10, I love this verse, says this: so let us not grow weary in doing good works, for we will reap a harvest at harvest time if we do not give up. So then whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. So it tells us to never grow weary of doing good works. Never grow weary of making the world a better place in Jesus' name, because after all, that is how others will come to believe. Because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our hearts, and because we are willing to do good works and share His love with others. And we do that by going outside of the walls of the church, in our community, and beyond, in Jesus' name. But there's something important we need to know. As we look through the history that's found in the book of Acts, we find that there were some stumbling blocks the apostles had to overcome. There was some stuff that they had to work out within themselves before the movement could really have the strength that it needed. First of all, there was some sense that the apostles thought that this message was only for the Jewish believers. Those that already had the Old Testament and the Old Covenant, they were the ones worthy to receive Christ. But yet, God was doing a new work in their hearts and in their lives, showing them, no, that this message is meant for everyone. And so that's where we come to Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 46. It says, while Peter was speaking, he was speaking to both Jews and Gentiles, and it says, while he was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. So the Gentiles received the Holy Spirit. The apostles were taught a valuable lesson that time, that all were meant to believe. All are meant to hear the gospel message. All are meant to receive the Holy Spirit. And so Peter realizes, he says, can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they invited him to stay for several days. So Peter had to change his way of thinking. Between the vision that Peter had on the roof in the previous verses and now the Gentiles receiving the Holy Spirit right before his eyes, he had to change what he thought about the Gentiles initially. Everyone is to receive this gift regardless of background and where they come from. He had to be delivered from his previous way of thinking, embrace the work that had to be done in Jesus' name. You see, sometimes we have to break away from those things that are holding us back from being fully used by God. There are lots of different things that are holding us back, and I want us to think about that. What are the things holding you back from fully embracing the calling that God has made for you in your life in Jesus? I want to put a pin right there, and we're going to talk about that very shortly. But I want us to go to Acts chapter 12 first, because this is a passage about deliverance, isn't it, in Acts chapter 12. And so, things are now starting to get real for the apostles. And what I mean by that is that there is real danger in spreading the gospel message. There's persecution. There's imprisonment. And there's even death as a result of their willingness to be bold and share the gospel. So I want to share with you a few verses behind what Keith read in Acts chapter 12, the first verse, to kind of share with you what's going on. It says, about that time, King Herod laid violent hands upon some who belonged to the church. He had James, the brother of John, killed with the sword. After he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the festival of unleavened bread. So see, King Herod was trying to save his skin. He was trying to save his station and his status, his power. So he had James killed. And so he knows that the fervor is starting to go up to kind of do something about these apostles. So he sees this as his golden opportunity. And he puts Peter in prison. And he hopes it's an opportunity to rouse the crowds to have Peter executed. But God has bigger plans. It says in verses 4 and 5, when he had seized him, he put him in prison and handed him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending to bring him out to the people after Passover. While Peter was kept in prison, the church prayed fervently to God for him. So I want us to figure out the key word here. The church prayed what?
Fervently
to God for him. So if we can expect miracles, if we want to expect blessings, then we have to pray. There we go. Pray fervently. You're a smart group. You're called to pray fervently to God, to receive blessings, to receive miraculous things. And so to me, this escape story, this breakout story, is pretty fascinating to me. It's almost comical in the way that it takes place. Because here we have Peter. It tells us in the passage that Peter is in between two guards, and he's chained to these guards even. And he's sleeping, and the guards are on either side of him, keeping watch over him. I guess they are. I don't know if they're asleep too. It doesn't say. They might have been. They might have been catching some Z's. And so here, let's see what happens. It says, that very night before Herod was going to bring him out, Peter was bound with two chains and was sleeping between two soldiers while the guards in the front door were keeping watch over the prison. And so it all kind of happens like a dream. It says in verses 7 through 9, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. He tapped Peter on the side and woke him up, saying, get up quickly. And the chains fell off his wrist. The angel said to him, fasten your belt and put on your sandals. And he did so. And he said, wrap your cloak around you and follow me. And Peter went out and followed him. And he didn't realize what was happening, but the angel's help was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. He thought he was dreaming. He thought he was in a haze somehow. But then in verses 10 and 11, we see what else happens. After that, he passed the first and second guard. They came before the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord. And they went outside and walked along a lane, and suddenly the angel left them. Then Peter came to himself and said, now I'm sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hands of Herod It's from all that the Jewish people were expecting. This is pretty powerful stuff. The church prayed fervently for Peter, and he escaped from prison. Don't ask me how. I don't know how the angel did it. I don't know if he made Peter invisible. I'm not sure. All I know is that it took place. Peter was able to do the work that he was called to do. He was once in prison, and now he is free. And he was able to be fully unencumbered and to do the work that God had called him to do. So all of us have these prisons that we need to break free from. These barriers that we have from having a full and most powerful relationship with God that we can have. So at this time, I want everybody to open up their bulletin. Open your bulletin. And you should have a piece of paper that looks like this. Everybody should have one. So when you open up your bulletin, I want you to take that piece of paper and I want you to hold it up in the air like this. Okay? Everybody's got it? We're not voting on anything. You don't have to worry about that. That's a piece of paper. And I'm going to explain to you what this is. You can put it back down. This is your chain. Okay? This is your chain that you have. And you have to figure out what that is for you. And I want you to take your chain, and I want you to pray over it this week. And I want you to think about one thing that you need to give over to God to make yourself live more fully into your relationship with Him. Whether it be a sin that you're wrestling with, or an addiction of some kind, whether it be some anger or a grudge or something that you're holding against someone else, maybe something that you need to let go of so that you can draw closer to God. Whatever that is for you, I want you to pray over that this week. And I want you to just write one word. Just one word that represents what it is that you're letting go of. And I want you to bring it back next week. So can you all do that? This is a homework assignment. You can bring it back next week. And here's what we're going to do. What we're going to do next week is that we're going to take all of our chains. We're going to have several staplers here. And we're going to make our chains all come together. Like this. So you would staple it and then staple it to the next one. There are several teachers in here, I know, that can help out with this. So I think we're going to be in good shape. But we're going to put all of them together. And then at the end of our service, we're going to break our chains. Does that sound like a plan? We're going to do that together. We're going to break our chains. So I want you to think about that. And we're going to have also an opportunity during our service next week that if you want to come to the altar and pray about whatever it is that you want to give over to the Lord. We're going to have prayer intercessors that are going to be here next week to pray for you and taking that next step in your journey. Maybe there's a barrier in your life. Maybe there's something that you need to give over to the Lord so you can fully give your heart to Him. So you can fully serve Him faithfully. Whatever that is, that's between you and God and something that you need to pray about this week. But hold on to your chain. Just hold on to it for a week. I know you all can handle it. And we're going to do something powerful in breaking the chains. And giving ourselves more fully to Christ our Lord. Will you pray with me? Most gracious and heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of deliverance. Thank you for the gift of your love that flows through us. Thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, O God, that we are called together to do good works in your name for the glory of your kingdom. But God, there are barriers. There are things that we need to overcome. So God, help us, whether it be a sin, whether it be an addiction, whether it be a grudge or something that we need to give over to you, God. That's between you and us. God, help us be able to think of what that is, to pray over it and to give it to you, to lay it at the foot of the cross, to break those chains, and to live more fully into the life that you've called us to live. So, O God, come into our hearts. Fill us with your Spirit, that your Spirit might fall afresh on us, that we might be renewed and restored by the power of your love. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray together. Amen.